Romans 13. Okay, so look at the verse before 13:1. It's 12:21, and I want you to look at it very carefully because it gives the context to the following verse. Do not overcome, be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with yes. See that? You can go back a little further, and it says, don't avenge yourselves, verse 19. Give place to wrath, you know. Don't avenge yourself. Give place to wrath. Vengeance is mine. I will repay. If your enemy's hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink. For in doing so, you heap coals of fire on his head. Now, when I first read that as a new believer, I thought that meant it would be like taking red hot coals and burning his skull with it. That's not what that means. It's literally helping someone who's collecting coals for cooking and putting it on there, helping them getting it up because they carry things up on there. If you've been to Africa, they still do that. They wrap the little cloth up there and they'll carry water and food and anything else on their heads. It's amazing. You can watch these people carry television sets. I watched a guy carry a generator into a village on his head. So if you're a chiropractor and you want work, I know where you can go. It'll be plenty busy. Chapter 13, Romans. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God. And the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God. And those who resist bring judgment on themselves. For rulers are not a terror to good workers, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of authority? Do what's good. And you'll have praise from the same. Here's an idea. You want to get along with authority? Do the right thing. For he is God's minister to you for good. If you do evil, be afraid. For he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is God's minister and avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. There's a tremendous theological argument about this chapter even being legitimate in the Bible. There are some scholars who say that this was inserted afterwards because this is Paul talking during the time of Nero. And they say this was inserted by some Nero fight, if you want to call it that. Somebody who is supportive of that. But there's plenty of support in the Bible and other places that support this idea. And just because Paul has been silent on the matter in other epistles does not mean that he wouldn't have written this. And this was wildly and widely accepted by the early church as inspired. But anyway, this goes on and says, render therefore to all their due. Taxes to whom taxes are due. Customs to whom customs. Fear to whom fear. Honor to whom father. Owe no one anything except to love one another. For he who loves one another has fulfilled the law. Skip down to verse 10. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore love is the fulfillment of the law. And do this, knowing the time that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. There is an urgency to the hour, and Paul is saying this to the church because of that urgency. Second, 1 Peter, I want you to turn there now. Turn to 1 Peter. Chapter 2. Verses 13 to 17. First Peter chapter 2, verse 13. Therefore, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme, or to governors, or to those sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. For this is the will of God. Now, you don't see that phrase very often. There's another place. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Give thanks, giving thanks in everything. And here, honoring and submitting, this is very important. This is the will of God, and by doing so, you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men as free, yet not using liberty as a cloak for vice. You know what that means? Don't use your liberty as a cloak for vice. It means don't use your right or claim to freedom as an excuse to do whatever you want, which you believe to hide from God or hide from others or whatever the case may be, cloaking your vice or using your liberty itself to allow you to have some vice in your life. You know what a vice is? Okay. Honor all people, love their brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Servants, be submissive to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the harsh. This is painful to read. I hate this verse. I'll be honest with you, I can't stand it. Very difficult to teach, very hard to preach, but we got to hit it. We got to talk about it because the Bible says, preach the word, be in season, out of season, and don't skip stuff. That's the Graziano commentary. Don't skip things because you don't like them. I don't skip other things I don't like, do I? You know me, long. I won't skip things. I'm going to skip this. As much as I really hate this, I'm not going to skip it. Can't skip over this topic. You got a boss who's a little harsh? Suck it up. Honor your boss. Doesn't mean he can't look for other work. But while you're there, you got to honor. You have to submit. You have to be honorable. That means you're not part of the gossip mill at work. Hello? Hello? Come on. Hello? Amen. You don't get to be part of that as a believer because you're above that. It's not the will of God is for you to submit yourself and honor those in authority. And now the benefit of being an American is we get to flip people out we don't like. We can vote them out. We can exercise our rights under the ordinances that are part of our lives now. As Americans, we are very special position. I'm going to tell you something. No other group of Christians has ever had the privilege of replacing those in authority over them. Think about it. What a high and holy responsibility is for you and I as believers to handle it with great care. For whom much is given, much is expected. Much is expected. And I think that our republic is a gift, and we have the responsibility to manage it well. Because it has been used for the good of the world. Think about the good of the world right now. Remove American support from the rest of the world, and people will be dying in droves. Remove American funding. Remove American medical. Move America from the world right now. Move our free nation from the world, and watch the rest of the world crumble. Yeah, you may not like to hear that, but that's the truth. That's the way it is. So we have a grave responsibility to ensure that if there are those who are in authority, who are evil, that we exercise our God-given right, and which has come to us, and we're under it, and we're not out from the will of God by working to expose evil, as Ephesians 5:11 says, to expose unfruitful deeds of darkness, to resist unfruitful works of darkness and expose them. But we have to do it with the right attitude. We have to do it correctly. We have to be very cautious and careful that we don't get caustic, unkind, and unchristlike. Menzel said it very well Wednesday night. Christ has to be the middle of it. He's got to be the focus of all of it. I think it's important that we remember why we're here. We are not here to make America great again. We are here to raise up the name of Christ and win people to Him. Hello? Now, that's not a slam against Donald Trump or anything that people believe about that. I'm not saying anything that there are. I'm not a fan of a lot of things, but I'll tell you this. That's not my primary reason for being here.
Chain of command.
Yeah, my primary reason for being here, the head of the chain of my command is Christ. And my first command is to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And I've got to be careful that I can guard my ability to do that. Paul talked about that when he talked about his love for the Jews in the book of Romans. He said, you know, to the Jew I become a Jew, to the Gentile I become a Gentile. I'm not going to hold on to my personal ethics so tightly, or not my personal ethics, my personal identity so tightly that I can't win people to Christ. That's the danger for us. I can tell you honestly, I have blown it with people because of my political affiliations and positions. And at times now, I don't have an ear for the gospel with certain people because of that. It's kind of a shame. Maybe you've done that. If you have, it's, hey, we get one thing about the mercy of God. It's new every morning. That's what I love about this. I love about the grace of God. I get up, start all over again the next day. Like anything else. Amen? All right. There are three different views on this Romans 13 thing I want to talk about. One view is what I guess you'd call it the anarchist view. This is the person or the Christian who believes that they can disobey when they feel personally justified in doing so at any time. Maybe they would say, I have a liberty in Christ to do that, and there is no condemnation. So they take this anarchist view. Everything is free game for because of their, they feel a personal justification. I think anything that begins with me is a problem. So I'm not a fan of that position. Second position is the extreme patriot position, which is obey no matter what. That's completely unbiblical. And I'm going to give you probably 9 examples of civil disobedience in the Bible, and you'll see the nature of that disobedience is consistent with what Paul said. And then there's the third, and it's biblical submission. And this allows us to act in civil disobedience to the government if a command or legislation is evil. That's biblical submission. I'll give you a few examples. You don't have to turn to these because many of you will know these stories. Remember in Exodus chapter 1 when the Pharaoh told the midwives to kill those Hebrew babies? They didn't all do that, did they? Hence, we wouldn't have had Moses. Civil disobedience. No, I'm not going to do that. Why? Because it's evil. Hello? That's one example. Next example could be Joshua chapter 2. You remember? They told all these women and men to turn over those spies when they came into the land. Did Rahab obey that? Hello? No. Spies. Assets. Turn over those Hebrew assets. We want them. We're going to kill them. No, not turning them over. She's a hero of the faith for her civil disobedience. Isn't that interesting? 1 Samuel 14:45. Saul gives this edict and says, no one is to eat any food until we meet such and such and such and such. Jonathan comes in, hasn't heard this command, grabs some honey, starts eating. And it says in 1 Samuel 14:45, Jonathan, you're not supposed to do that. My father's out of his mind. I'm going to eat. I'm silly. In 1 Kings 18, Obadiah hides hundreds of prophets from Jezebel. He hid hundreds of them. He hid hundreds of prophets from Jezebel. This was one of the verses that many of the preachers used during the Civil War for those that were hiding slaves. The principle of Obadiah hiding prophets from Jezebel. Let me ask you a question. Would you have hid slaves? How about if you were a Southerner in the South and slavery was legal and they were killing slaves that were trying to escape or beating them? Would you have hid slaves? I hope you would have. There's a time to be civilly disobedient. There's a time to say, no, enough is enough. This is evil. I'm not going to put up with this. But the way you go about this, then none of these started a war against the king. You know, I hear this nonsense. You see it sometimes. People talk about, well, there's going to be a civil war here. Well, I'm not going to be part of it. I'll protect my family if someone comes to my home, because I believe that's within my God-given right. But am I going to take up arms against the government at some point in time? Are you nuts? There's only one issue when that may happen, and that's if there's some tyrannical slaughtering like the Boston Massacre. But we're nowhere near that, and people are already talking this kind of nonsense. In 2 Kings, there was a king named Athaliah, begins to kill all all the families in the Judea bloodline. And Joash is taken by the king's daughter and hidden from the king. 6 years later, Jehoiada says, this is the rightful king, and raises up an army to overthrow Athaliah, and Athaliah is killed. Pretty interesting. Nebuchadnezzar tells all these Hebrew boys, you're going to bow down when the statue goes by. Three of them didn't. And it's one of the most famous stories in the Bible, right? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They didn't bow. They wouldn't bow. They wouldn't kneel. They're thrown into a furnace. And they're saved. They're protected from that. In Daniel chapter 6, Daniel defies an order to stop praying. And he flips open his window and he prays where everybody can see him. Civil disobedience. We're not saying that you can't stand. We're not saying that you can't speak. What we're saying today is that you've got to do it in a way that glorifies God. And do it in a way that honors Jesus Christ and reflects his character. You know, the authority at the time in Israel was the Pharisees and Sadducees. How did Jesus handle them? He was pretty sharp with them. And at one point, the disciple says, let's raise up an army. And what did Jesus say? That's not how my kingdom operates. Are you getting it? There's a difference for us. There's a distinction for believers. You know, John the Baptist lost his head over all this. You remember what happened with John? He told Herod that he shouldn't be sleeping with his brother's wife. And people got upset with him. But he was exposing evil. That is evil behavior. And John the Baptist was bold about it and said, it's evil behavior. Did John raise up an army to overthrow the government? No. But he called evil, evil. See, there's going to be a time where people call evil good and good evil, and we're there. The believers need to call good, good, and evil, evil, and not be afraid to. But the way that we do it needs to be very, very cautious and carefully. Acts chapter 4, verse 19, they told Peter, stop preaching. Peter said, no. No. Let me think about it. No. Why? Because it's more important for us to obey God than it is to obey men. Make sense? Let me give you a couple of just thoughts here. We should resist when the government commands evil. We should work to install godly leaders within our laws. Hello? How many agree with that? I think we ought to work to do that. And frankly, who are going to be godly leaders? And you've heard me say this before, I'll be very honest with you. Christians have for far too long hoped that conservative politicians, many of them who are just as godless as liberal politicians, would stand up and support Christian rights and or Christian principles. And every time we've done that, in a major sense, every time we've done that, the person that we've been behind and supported turns out to be a hypocrite, and then we become a laughingstock. And this is why, as the church goes, so goes the country. You look at the United States going down the tubes. You know why it's going down the tubes? Because the church has been silent. Because the church isn't involved. Because the church won't get engaged. Because the church has subjugated its authority as powerful as a powerful presence in our communities, and has surrendered that authority to others to handle our goods and our business while we stand around and sing Amazing Grace while our communities go to hell. I have a serious problem with that. And I hope you do too. First Timothy chapter 2. Here's the right way to handle this stuff. Therefore, I exhort you, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in godliness and reverence. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior. This is the preference. The preference is to live quietly and peaceably. That's the preference. And we ought to be praying to that end. Lord, we want to live quietly and peaceably. We want to live with peace. We want to live quietly. We pray for our president. We pray for our governor. We pray for our legislators. We pray for the leaders around us. We pray for our community. But we also know that we can vote and we can share our views and our opinions and do them in a way that is not evil. And do that in a way that is not hurtful and insulting, and so on and so forth. We should disobey when commanded or mandated to do something against God's law. Here's a few extra verses. Romans 14:5. One person esteems one day above another, and another esteems every day like. Let each be fully convinced in his own mind. I need to be able to give you the right, as long as you're not in blatant sin, to be able to believe what you believe and think the way you think about what's happening around you. If you're fully persuaded in your mind, I'm going to hit a couple topics. If you're fully persuaded in your mind that you think that we should be letting people over the border, over the Rio Grande, if you've seen the pictures, you'd be horrified, letting people just come into the country. If that's your thing, you think we should be open, take care of these people. I have my own opinion about that. But you need to be fully convinced in your own mind about it. Same thing with these vaccines. You know, I hope that if someone decides to get the vaccine in this church, that no one here will judge them. And I hope that those that get the vaccine are not judging people who are not. Be fully persuaded in your own mind. And let me say one other thing about that. Mind your own stinking business. Hello? Stay out of it. Somebody wants to get it, they get it. Somebody doesn't want to get it, they don't get it. Mind your business. Who are you? You know what? I'm getting really sick of it. It's an invasion of privacy. Let people do what they feel convinced in their own mind. You have no idea. Someone may be dealing with sick people, they need to be vaccinated. Someone may have a compromised immune system, they can't get vaccinated. Maybe somebody's just got a conviction that they think the vaccine's not right or something wrong with it. That's their right to do that. For heaven's sake, mind your business. And by the way, you know, there's all kinds of information you can get about it if you have questions. And there's information about how you can support your immune system without it. pick a side, pick a thing for you, and let everyone else live unto God. I think that's what we ought to do. Here's Colossians. I recently had was faced with something about this, and I wrote a note to those involved. But I was very clear in the note that I wrote, listen, I'm going to be supportive, but this is my view. And I thought about it before I wrote it, and I wrote it. Colossians 4. Let your speech always be with grace. Now, there's no but here. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. You know what salt does? It preserves. You know what else it does? It enhances. It brings out this flavor. You know what else it does? It makes you a little thirsty for some more of something else. Salt has, now, too much salt, yeah, high blood pressure. But season it with salt, the right amount. Not flattery, just grace. You know the difference, I think. And by the way, if you're not sure you're going to say something that doesn't have grace, run it by somebody. Let somebody else read it first. You know? I'm so thankful for my wife. I bounce things off her all the time. I'm thinking of doing this, and I'll tell her. And she'll say, no, don't say it like that. Here's how you want to handle it. Call the person and say this. Okay. And you know, she's right. 99 out of a million times. No, 99. 99% of the time, she's got the right spirit. And you know what? There's times when she wants to do something, and I'll say, what about this? And she'll listen, and then she'll do her own thing. Because she's so much smarter than I am. That's the way this works. She listens as well. You know, it's just we all need someone to... Now, you're a single mom, single person. You have friends right here in this room. We'd all be willing to help you. You want to write a letter to somebody... You got to deal with an issue. I had one of my very dear friends here had an issue with his family. He wrote a letter, and he thought about it and thought about it. He said, I thought about it for 2 months before I sent it. And actually, before he sent it, he said, what do you think? And he showed me to it. It was very gracious. I said, this is a great letter. He said, I rewrote it 14 times. Slow to speak. That's what the word says, right? Slow to anger. Be slow to speak. Be slow to speak. And pray. And I'm going to show you one of my favorite prayers. I'll read it to you. I'll read you one of my favorite prayers. This is a prayer of David. Let his days be few, and let another take his office. Psalm 109, verse 8. I can pray that. If I want to pray that, I can pray that. But I can't act on it. That's God to do the acting. Right? That's God. So I pray, I say, Lord, please remove this person from office. Holy cow. This is terrible. Pray that if you want to pray that. You can pray that. And then when it's time for elections, get involved. We got a local one right here. Get involved. Do you know who these people are? Do you know who people are in your community that are running? I hope you do. Your neighbor needs you to be involved. So we can pray, we can write letters, We can make phone calls. We just have to be gracious. Hey, voice your opinion. I disagree with that. I disagree with that. I disagree with a vaccine mandate for healthcare workers. Or I agree with a health vaccine mandate for healthcare workers. Whatever. Voice your views. Be convinced in your own mind and voice your views. But get involved. You know what, folks? It's been said a million different ways. I don't even know the first person who said it was. But the only thing necessary for evil to succeed is for good people to do nothing. That's all that's necessary. You want to see evil flourish? Just have good people do nothing. Have just sit back. Don't do anything. Just be, you can be one of those Christians that says, well, whatever the Lord decides, whatever the Lord wills to happen is going to happen. No, that's fatalism. Are you a fatalist with everything else? Well, if my wife kisses me, I'll kiss her. If not, well, it's the Lord's will. Are you like that? Probably not, guys. You're not fatalistic in every area, just certain areas, right? You know, if my boss pays me, he pays me. If he doesn't pay me, he doesn't pay me. I don't care if I get paid or not. What's the little lift up to the Lord? I work for nothing.
I do.
I set him up. Please don't hold that against me. You know? But I said, you're not fatalistic in other areas of your life. You know? I'm just going to drive my car. If it has gas, it has gas. It runs out of gas, it runs out of gas. So, well, it must be the Lord's will for me to get stranded out in front of this restaurant. Yeah, with the cafe. Yeah, you know, I remember it was one guy in the church in Rome. He said, yeah, I just didn't set my alarm. I thought the Lord was going to wake me up. I went to church. I didn't check anything. And you know what? The car died right in front of this place. I went and I shared the gospel. Must have been the Lord's will. Don't you love how people manipulate the Lord's will? It was the Lord's will. No, it wasn't the Lord's will. You got lucky. The Lord worked around your knuckleheadedness. New word. The Lord is bigger than your stupidity and was able to work something out despite the fact that you're careless. That's how that went. You want the truth. So speak out. Be vocal, but be smart about it. Be gracious about it. Be wise about it. It's within your right as an American. You know, you can do that. I often wonder if we were a little bit more whimsical, if we were a little bit more creative, if we would write letters to the editor just a little bit more, if we talked a little bit more cautiously, if we prayed a little bit longer, if we'd have a bigger impact on our world, you know? And there are people that are doing a good work. There's the New Yorkers for Constitutional Freedom. There's a group. They do a great job. There's the folks who do the Crisis Pregnancy Center. Huh? The Homeschool Legal Defense, fantastic group of people. There's places you can support, you know, $10 a month, $5 a month. Hey, every bit, little bit helps. And that's part of being part of the solution and doing it wisely and graciously. Use your resources to do that, you know. But the Crisis Pregnancy Center, they're still called that, right? Family Hope Center. Thank you. That's a growing organization. They need help. What a great organization to help. What a tragedy it is that we are still having babies aborted at the rate that they're being aborted. It's horrible. You know? But what are we doing? Hoping somebody else votes or overturns Roe v. Wade? You're going to be waiting a long time for that. We need to help women on the street who go in and need a sonogram. 9 out of 10 times they see that sonogram and it saves the baby. It's a big deal. That's what we should be doing. Things like that. You can think on your own and be creative on your own, but I just wanted to lay this out for you. I was excited to hear that Menzo attacked this the way he did on Wednesday night. Did a fantastic job. We're 100% agree. There's a time for it if it's done right. And there's a way to do it and a way not to do it. And I've been guilty of the not to do it just as much as I've been guilty of the to do it right. In either way, in either case, let's go forward and just reflect Jesus Christ as best we can in a very dark time. Now, it's a dark time right now. We are in dark days. These are dark days. And this has not, even beyond the virus, you can ask Menzel, there's stuff going on in the financial world right now. It could get very bad. And maybe he'll share some of that in the coming weeks as things unfold, what we've been talking about. Amazing stuff. So, all right. Father, we thank you for this day today. Thank you for our congregation. Thank you, Lord, for the grace you've given each one to live and walk with you. We pray, Father, that as we stand before magistrates, so to speak, and governors and supervisors and presidents even, maybe one will get a chance, an opportunity to stand before someone like that, as the prophet Nathan did, and as the many prophets who preached to those kings. That's civil disobedience. But it was done in a way that glorified God. And they took the consequences of that. So we pray, Lord, that we would walk in faith and in the light as good examples in our community, and to speak well when we need to. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.